A birth foretold. The birth of Jesus Christ was one of the most anticipated events of human history. Many aspects of Christ's birth were foretold in the Old Testament. Fulfilled prophecy stands as one of the premier proofs that Jesus was the Son of God and Israel's Messiah. Immediately following humanity's rebellion and descent into sin in the Garden of Eden, God issues the first recorded prophecy in the Bible. God promises Adam and Eve that through the seed of the woman, He would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Through the Abraham covenant, the seed line of the Messiah is narrowed. The seed of the woman come through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From Judah, one of Jacob's 12 sons, would Israel's Messiah be born. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of people be.
Within the tribe of Judah, the seed line of the Messiah is identified as coming through the family line of Jesse in Isaiah 11:1, and ultimately the house of David. 2 Samuel 7:12. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom." 2 Samuel 7:15. "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Jeremiah 25:5, 23:5. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Because the Messiah was to come from the house of David, the scripture further foretells that he would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. Micah 5:2. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting."
Furthermore, the prophet Isaiah tells us that this child born in Bethlehem would be the one upon whose shoulders God the Father would establish his kingdom reign on earth by inheriting the throne of his father David. Isaiah 9:6-7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Isaiah also tells us that the seed of the woman would arrive through a virgin birth. Moreover, he that would be born of the virgin would be Emmanuel, God incarnate in human flesh. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Peter Stoner, author of Science Speaks, presents the probability that any man might have lived in history and fulfilled just 8 of the 61 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The odds, according to Stoner, are 1 in 10 to the 17th power. If we took 10 to the 17th power of silver dollars and laid them out over the state of Texas, they would cover the entire state to a depth of 2 feet. Now mark one of these silver dollars and stir the whole mass thoroughly all over the state. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up the one silver dollar that is marked, that is the marked coin. What chance does he have of choosing the right one? The same chance that the Old Testament prophets had that 8 of their prophecies would be fulfilled in one man. This proves that Jesus Christ was truly Emmanuel, God with us.
Birth announced. In Luke chapter 1, God breaks 400 years of silence by telling Zacharias, a Jewish priest, that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son. Being beyond their childbearing years, Zacharias is struck dumb until their son is born, as a sign that God's message is authentic. Meanwhile, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, an unmarried Jewish girl in the town of Nazareth. Gabriel informs Mary that despite never having had a physical relationship with a man, she will conceive and bear a son by God the Holy Spirit. This son will be the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture we read about in Acts 1. Luke 1:26-38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. In his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Joseph, Mary's fiancé, seeking to avoid scandal, is contemplating not following through his impending marriage to Mary when the angel of the Lord appears and tells him to take Mary as his wife, because the child she was carrying was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Joseph is also told that this child will be the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14 and be named Emmanuel. Matthew 1:18-25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. After 9 months of silence, Zacharias speaks the following prophecy at the birth of his son, John the Baptist. Luke 1:64-80. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began,
In Luke chapter 2, we see fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy in Christ's birth in Bethlehem. Through the miracle of the virgin birth, God became incarnate in human flesh. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that through the tiny heart of that baby beat the blood that would be shed so you and I could have the forgiveness of sins? What love does God have for us that He would send His only begotten Son to die in our place? This is a poem by Chris Rice, Welcome to Our World. Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child, welcome, Holy Child. Hope that you don't mind our manger. How I wish we would have known, but long-awaited holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Fragile finger sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorn. Tiny heart whose blood will save us. Unto us is born. Unto us is born. So wrap your injured flesh around you. Breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sin and make us holy. Perfect Son of God, perfect Son of God, welcome to our world.
When Jesus was born, the heavenly host praised God on that joyous and historical night. In fact, the angelic realm included humanity in the celebration by appearing to the shepherds the night Christ was born. Luke 2:8-20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. As you sing, hark, the herald angels sing, Pay attention to the depth of the doctrine that is conveyed through this classic carol.
While the wise men from Egypt were not present at the manger the night Jesus Christ was born, Christ's star appeared in the sky on the night of his birth. The presence of the star prompted the Magi to make their westward journey in search of the King of the Jews. These wise men possessed copies of the book of Daniel, which contained the prophecy of the 70 weeks. Therefore, when they saw the star while still in the east, they knew what it meant and went to find him. The gifts the wise men present to Christ are also the fulfillment of the prophecy that he would be given gifts. And we see this in Psalm 72, verse 10, where it says, "The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents, and the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts." Okay. I will now read the entire book of Matthew. Not really. For the sake of time, I'll just read Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way."
I want to start off this morning in John chapter 1. A lot of the verses we're going to go through, we're already read through in the different parts of the story that we went through as we kind of retold it in word and in song and so on. And I'm struggling this morning with my voice. I've been getting... The kids have all been sick, and it's probably my turn. You know how that goes. John chapter 1, look at verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God." And the Word what? Was God. So, who was Jesus Christ is the first question we want to look at today. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning." Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning God what? Created the heaven and the earth." Okay? John chapter 1, verse 1 says that in the beginning, at that same time, in the beginning was the Word. Notice that the word "Word" there is with a capital what? W. It is referring to a person, correct? It says, "In the beginning was the Word." So, not only do we learn that God was in the beginning, but there was another individual there whose name is what? The Word. And it says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." So the Word was there with God in the beginning. But then we also learn, "And the Word was who?" So the Word is God. He was there with God. He was there in the beginning. He's God, but yet He is a different what? Individual. Look at verse 2. "The same," excuse me, "was in the beginning with God." Verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ was the Word. He was with God and was God in the beginning, and by Him were all things what? That is what the Bible teaches.
The Bible teaches that in the beginning when God the Father created, that the Word was also there, and that the Word was present in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He had a co-equal share in the creation of all things according to the Word of God. Come with me to Colossians chapter 1. Come with me to Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15, it says, "Who is the image and the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Notice, "For by Him," that's Jesus Christ, "were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Notice, all things were created what? By Him and what? For Him. Verse 17, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things" what? "Consist." Jesus Christ was before all things, and by Him all things what? Now, if He was before all things, then that means He was present there with God in the what? In the beginning. And so when the Godhead creates everything, heaven, earth, the structures of governmental authority in heaven and earth, I'll take it, I already have some, but I'm probably going to go through it pretty quick. Thanks. They create the governmental structures of heaven and earth and the creation as we know it. He's there. He's in the beginning. He's present with God in the beginning, and He is before all things, and by Him all things what? Consist. Now, come with me back to John chapter 1. I should have told you to mark it. John chapter 1. I believe it was Bill who read the passages here in John chapter 1 in our program, and you read in verses 1, 2, and 3 about how the Word was there in the beginning, and how the Word was with God, and how the Word was God. And we read in Colossians about how He was before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, they're all talking about Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how do you know? How do you know that the Word is talking, that the person, the individual known as the Word, is talking about Jesus Christ? Well, verse 14 tells you that. It says, "And the Word was made," what? "Flesh, and dwelt among us." So the Word that was in the beginning, the Word that was with God in the beginning and that was God, co-equal with God, that was there before all things and by whom all things consist, that Word, that individual, that member of the Godhead was made what? Flesh. And because He was made flesh, it says in verse 14, that He dwelt where? Now one member of the Godhead incarnated Himself in human flesh so that He could dwell and live with man. Was it God the Father? Was it God the Holy Spirit? Was it God the Son? It was the Son of God. The Scripture calls Him, God calls Him His only begotten what? Son, John 3:16. So He becomes flesh. The Word is incarnate. The Word is made flesh. So that he can come down and dwell among men. Come with me to Philippians chapter 2, another passage that was read a few minutes ago. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Paul writing to the Philippians here, and he says to him in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in" who? Christ Jesus. Notice, who being in the form of God. Before, at the beginning, was Jesus Christ in the form of God? Was He there? Was He there when everything was created? Did He partake in the creation of all things? Colossians 1 tells you that. John chapter 1 tells you that. John chapter 1 verse 14 also tells you that that Word was made what? Flesh. Look at what Paul says, verse 6. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Well, why? Because He was who? God. That's what John 1:1 tells you. Verse 7. but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of what? So here you have the Word, the second member of the Godhead, who's there in the beginning, who's equal with God, who creates with God and pre-exists the creation and so on and so forth. And he decides of his own free will and his own volition that he is going to be found or be made in the likeness of what? That Word is going to be made flesh. And when that Word is made flesh, that Word is going to dwell where? Do you understand the second member of the Godhead that is responsible for the creation of all things willingly took upon himself a flesh like you and I have so that he could come down here and dwell among who? Us. Jesus Christ, folks, is the second member of the Godhead. He is the Son of God. And he is fully God and fully man in one person at the same time. That's who Jesus Christ is. You say, well, I don't understand that. That's what the Scripture teaches. Some of the biggest heresies in the history of Christendom have centered around a misidentification of who Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ is what we call the God-man. He is in one man, in one person at one time, possessing two natures. He is both fully God and he is both fully man at the same time. That is a miracle, folks. And that miracle can only be accomplished through what we study and learn about when we look at the Christmas story. So how could Jesus be God? How could Jesus, in one person, at the same time, be both fully man and fully God in one person at the same time? You know what they call that in theology? They call it the hypostatic union. Doesn't that thrill you? Okay. That's what they call it. Or they say that Christ is the theanthropic person. Woo! What that's a fancy way of saying is that in one person at one time, he is both fully God and fully what? Man. So how could that be? How could Jesus be God? Come with me to Luke chapter 1. Come with me to Luke chapter 1. Those of you that have children or who've had children in the past know that your children have the same problem that you have. They're kin to you and you're kin to Adam. And because we're all in Adam, we've all what? Sinned. Okay? And we are born into this life as sinners. We sin because we are what? Sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We have a bent. We have an inclination towards doing what is wrong. I don't have to teach my children how to do the wrong thing because they already know how to do that. You spend a lot of time teaching them how to do what? The right thing. Okay? And you pull your hair out and, you know, you do all this stuff trying to teach them the principles of the Word of God so they'll grow up and want to do what's right. Well, how can Jesus be God, sinless God, and man at the same time? Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she trembled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now you're going to see why. So what is Mary? Mary sees the angel and she's scared, rightfully so. And her first reaction is, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? How can I have a child? Why? Keep reading. Verse 30, and the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 34. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing what? I know not a man. So there you see it. When she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be, she's kind of saying, this is impossible. Because I've never had the relationship necessary with the man for me to be what? Pregnant. Okay? Celibacy is it works every time. Okay? You want to teach your children how not to, you know, get pregnant, just teach them to abstain, right? It works every time no matter what the media says, okay? So he says in verse 34, then she said unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? Now, does Mary ask the logical question you would expect her to ask given her circumstances? Okay? Well, so in other words, is there any physical way? Is there any natural way that she can be pregnant? No. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of who? How is it possible for a virgin to conceive? The only way it's possible is if God does a miraculous supernatural work of God the Holy Spirit and reaches in to Mary and impregnates her through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit with a child. Because she has not had the relationship that is necessary to produce a child. Now come with me to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So we know from Luke that the way Mary is going to bear the Son of God is not the result of any natural union with a man. Okay? It is going to be a supernatural activity of God the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now listen. Is that a sign? Is a virgin conceiving and being with child a pretty major sign? That's a pretty major sign. Why? Because that doesn't happen unless it is the work of who? God. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give thee a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin with child was to be a sign to Israel of Emmanuel's. Emmanuel means God with us. Of the birth of God come down to be with who? Us. With Israel. Come with me, if you would, to chapter 9 of Isaiah. I do apologize for the voice here this morning. Hopefully it's not too big of a distraction. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty what? You understand that the name of the child is going to be called the Mighty who? God, in the verse. The everlasting what? Father, the Prince of Peace. Is this any ordinary child? No. This is going to be the Son of God that is going to be incarnate in human flesh, and the vehicle, the means through which it's going to be accomplished is through the virgin birth. It cannot be accomplished any other way. Come with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of who? The Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example of her, was mindful to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of what? The Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Drop down to verse 23. It's talking about the fulfillment of Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. Then Joseph, raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name what? God was made flesh, folks. The incarnation. It's what we call the incarnation. Through the virgin birth, so that the end result would be Emmanuel, i.e., God come down to be with who? Us. There is no other way that this could be accomplished. Joel, was you? Oh, I got it. So why, folks, was the incarnation necessary? Come with me to Leviticus chapter 25. In the Old Testament, in the law, there is a doctrine called the doctrine of the kinsman redeemer that we need to look at because it is very instructive for what we're considering here this morning. Leviticus chapter 25, look at verse 26. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to do what? Redeem it. Then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. So what's going on in that verse? One brother has sold off a piece of land or a piece of property, and his near kin would come and do what? Redeem it back and give it back to who? His brother, the one that sold it. Okay, verse 26. And if the man have none to redeem it, and he himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return it unto his what? Possession. Now, there are three things in that verse, in that passage, that somebody has to have or meet three qualifications if they're going to function as a kinsman redeemer. Number one, they have to be kin to the man that's in trouble. Right? Number two, they have to be able to redeem. They have to have the capacity and the ability financially, whatever, to do the redeeming. Okay? And number three, even if they're the next of kin, and even if they're able to do it, doesn't mean they're what? They're willing to do it. So he has to be kin to the man in trouble, he has to be able to redeem, and he has to be willing to pay the price. Now all of that is going to factor very heavily into our discussion. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 14, please.